God. You glad to be in church tonight? Did you bring your Bible? Okay. Well, the three of you that brought your Bible. No, I know you brought your Bible with you. We're a church that believes the Word. Amen. We read the Word here, don't we? Amen. It changes our lives. How many of you can say my life has been changed because of the Word? Amen. Glory to God. I started back on July 8th, I started talking about a subject that I don't know that we'll get finished with it tonight. We'll just, you know, we'll be led and we'll see how far we get. But I started talking about the source for our course. And if you weren't here on that during that service, you can go back. This is a great opportunity for me to advertise our Rhema USA app. For those of you that are watching online, if you're in here, if you download that app, all of the messages, we'll preach messages and we'll go on and continue and do it in series. And you can go back and you can listen to all that stuff. It's available for free. You just go in there and listen to it anytime you want. And so I know my voice is smooth like butter. So you can, you know, if you're trying to go to sleep at night, you can just, you know, listen to my smooth vocal. I'm kidding. Thank you for the rousing burst of silence. This is going to go well. I can see that already. Amen. So we began looking at the subject called the source for our course. A great revelation for us is that we have a benefactor, greater than a benefactor. One of my favorite, it's a book, and they turned it into a movie, but Great Expectations was a Charles Dickens book and a movie. And if you're not aware of that, Great Expectations. Basically, the character that's the main character in the book is a young man named Pip, and he has a benefactor. He's got somebody that he doesn't know where it's coming from, but he's an impoverished young, you know, little kid, and he finds out that somebody is paying his way to be able to go to like a finishing school, and he goes to college and gets educated and tries to help him in his station in life. But it was a benefactor. You know, you ever felt like, you know, it'd be nice to have a benefactor, somebody that was just, you just show up and the bill was paid. Hmm? Doesn't that feel good when that happens? You go in a restaurant or something, you go in there and you get ready to go pay, and they're like, somebody took care of the bill. You go, whose? Mine? Feels good to have somebody that took care of something for you. Well, we have a great benefactor. Amen? The source for everything that we have is God. And he's better than a benefactor. The definition of a benefactor is actually this. It's someone who gives help, support, or gifts to another. And so in that sense, God is certainly a benefactor. But the scripture presents him as something even greater. He's not just someone who gives blessings. He's the one from whom blessings originate. Right? That's better than just, you know, a worldly benefactor. A worldly benefactor can only give you those things that, you know, that maybe they can purchase something if they have some means and they can provide that on your behalf. But their resources are limited. And what we found, we started talking about this subject. We said that God is the source from where all blessings flow. Amen? Everything that you receive, God is, if it's good, if it's perfect, what's the scripture tell us? It says every good and every perfect gift in James, it says, comes down from the Father of lights. Amen. If it's good or it's perfect, guess what? It's God. Amen. And we looked at a couple of scriptures about that. We looked at Philippians 4:19 that says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so definitively, that scripture, the Apostle Paul says that God supplies a couple of your needs. Who said all? Who's that Bible reader out there that said all? My God shall supply all your needs according to however big a loan he can get. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So everything that we have comes from God, and it's ours, belongs to us through Christ Jesus. Amen? Aren't you glad for Jesus? Aren't you different because Jesus is in your life? Amen. Then we looked at that scripture in James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So we said God is the source of everything good. He's not the source of everything bad. And we spent a lot of time on that because we said to you, there are lots of people who thinks that they think that God is somehow doing bad stuff in their lives. And they get it mixed up. And if you know, you know, if you don't know that God is providing good things, that God is good and the devil is bad, some folks think that God is working in some kind of partnership with the devil against them. But that's a lie. That was a weak amen. I said, that's a lie. God is not working against you with the devil to bring bad things in your life. The devil finds entrance into our life, but it's not God's best. Amen. There are people, you know, not everything that happens, we have to get that right. That not everything that happens is the will of God. Just because something happens in this world, you know, the Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish and all should come to repentance. But we know that there are some people who don't receive Christ. But that's not God's best. He desired something better for them, amen? And the enemy, somewhere along the way, deceived them, convinced them that maybe they weren't good enough. You know, there have been people that I have I've given them the gospel. And I told them it was for everybody. And when I got finished and I offered it to them, they said, "You don't know what I did, though." As if somehow they were too bad. Well, that's a lie from the enemy. He convinced them that they weren't good enough to receive, or that what Jesus did couldn't provide for whatever it was they did. That's a lie. I don't care what you did. I mean, I'm glad you're not still doing it. But I don't care what you did. It's not greater than the grace of God. And it's not something that the blood of Jesus couldn't cleanse you from. He paid the price and it was for all, right? And so we said we have to know that God is the source of all good things. The enemy is the one that came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it what? Not mediocre, abundantly." Abundance sounds like a whole bunch to me, right? Abundance sounds like when I make my own plate. When I go to it, like, you know, if I go to a buffet and they're the ones serving me, that's not abundance. But if they give me the spoon, I can show you abundance. Yeah? Okay. Praise the Lord. So we said God is the source of everything good. But then we said this, if God is the source of everything good, then we have to recognize that when we receive good from other places, those things, how we're getting that good, that's not our source. That's just a channel. It's just a channel. Your job, not your source. That's good news for you. Somebody else, you know, some people think that someone else's control of their emotional well-being. If you look to another person to be in control of your emotional well-being, you're going to get disappointed. You know, so this is, you know, and I'm certainly not making fun of this. It's a difficult situation. But if you weigh so heavy on your spouse and they go home to be with the Lord before you do, and you've relied on them for your emotional support to be your love and your emotional support. I'm not saying we shouldn't love our spouse. We shouldn't emotionally support them. But we've got a greater measure. If we get something good from our spouse and it flows through them, they're just a channel for the goodness of God. And it's another way that God is blessing us through somebody. Your job? Couldn't give a rip. If I know that my job is not my source, couldn't give a rip if the factory closes. I hate it for everybody that doesn't know God. But if the factory closes and it's our source, we're in trouble. It's just a channel. Amen? So everything, anything, something good comes into your life, don't get so tied up by what that thing is that came into your life that you think if this goes away that I'm going under. No, just a channel. We talked about Elijah, and we said, you know, when he went to the brook, the ravens came and fed him there, and we said, you know, if the ravens are his source and they quit coming, that's a problem. But if the ravens quit coming, how many of you know God will tell you to go to this place and there'll be a widow there, she'll sustain you. And she's not your source either, just a channel. Amen? So paychecks, the government, relationships, education, yourself. Work. You know, some people work themselves to death trying to get ahead. Your hands, what you can do, just a channel. And what will happen is the enemy will get us so caught up in that, we'll work with our hands so much that we're like, all of a sudden, I can't make church on Sunday because I got to work, because I got to get ahead. Well, if you're your source, but you're not. Amen? Those are just channels. And we said this to you. We said channels change. God never changes. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Amen? So this is the next thing that I wanted to talk to you. God, if we understand that God is the source, that will help us to stay the course. Once we know that God is the source, it will help us to stay the course. When God's provision will always be found on the channel or the path that God has called us to. This is why sometimes there are people who they feel like they always come up short, and it's because they're not in their place. They're not where they should be. If we're following God, if we're doing, this doesn't mean that there aren't some times where difficulties come into our lives. Scripture tells us, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. At some point, you're going to come through. Whatever you're going through, remember that. Whatever you're going through, you're going through. You're going to get to the other side of that thing if you're following God. But God will put us on a channel, and he will use that channel or that course or that pathway to bring things into our lives. But we have to remember, he's the one that provides everything that's coming down that channel. So all I got to do is find that path or find that channel. And if I do, remember we looked at that principle in Matthew where Jesus said this. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What things? Well, the things that he was just talking about. He said, consider the birds. He said, consider the flowers. You know, they neither toil nor spin. He said, but your heavenly Father knows what they have need of. God knows what you and I need in order to succeed and to be sustained. And what he wants us to do is to get on the pathway where he can provide for us. But many times what we see, people come up short because they go down some other track or some other course. And they want God to move the blessings over to their plan or their purpose for their life. But that's not how God sustains us. He determines where we go. It's up to us to get on the path. So, but it's not enough to know that God's the source. We have to follow the source. Knowledge knows that God is the source, but wisdom follows God's direction. Right? It's like me saying to you, you know, knowledge knows that Brahms is serving ice cream. Wisdom is knowing you won't be mad at me if I stop preaching at the right time so you can go get some. But how many of you know Brahms has got ice cream right now, but we don't have any of it? I can't taste any ice cream right now. But it's available. Knowledge tells me that it's there. Knowledge tells me that God is the source. Wisdom tells me that I got to get to wherever God wants me, because if I get to where God wants me, I'm standing in the path where the blessings of God will overtake me. I'll find the things that I need on the path that God's called me to. There's a path that God has for us to follow, both generally and specifically. We've all got things that we're supposed to do as believers, but there's a specific plan or purpose that if we'll get on the path that God has for us, everything that we have need of along the way will be there when we need it if we stay on that path. And we'll walk down a path for a while, and sometimes people will be on the right track, but the Lord begins to move them or shift them into something else. Now I want you to go over here, just like Elijah with the raven. And well, you know, if Elijah would have stayed there by the brook when it dried up and the ravens were coming and God said, okay, it's time to move on. How many of you know this? He wouldn't be sitting there eating sandwiches and drinking water anymore. Because God was telling him, I need you to move over here. And what we have to do is learn to flow with God and go where God tells us to go. Do the things that God is telling us to do and just move over to that other path. And so if this area dries up or this stream dries up, then we slide over to where God is calling us to next and we continue on the path that God has for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Lots of scriptures show us this principle. Proverbs 3:5-6 says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. You ever leaned on your own understanding? We think we know better. Anybody else? Just me. Oh, God probably meant this. You know, maybe I should do this. But trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways. That word means direction. In all your ways. That Hebrew word there is in all your direction. Acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. And that means, that word there means steps. That first word is, I may be pronouncing it wrong, but Derek, D-E-R-E-K is how that's pronounced or spelled. It means direction. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your direction, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path, and that means steps. Well, the steps of a good man or woman are ordered of the Lord. Isn't that right? When we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and we don't lean on our own understanding, we acknowledge Him in all of our ways. He directs our steps. He tells us where to go next, the next place to put our foot down. Not everything's sure footing. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says this, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. It says He, for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. Meaning there were some things that He was going through, but it was for the joy that was set before Him. Oh, there used to be a gospel song. My dad used to sing gospel music. And there was a song, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. And I love that part where it says, though His eyes were on the crowd that day, He looked ahead in time. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. When Jesus was enduring, He was looking at the joy that was set before Him. And so in the same manner, when we're living our lives and God has given us some direction, and now we have to go through some steps to get to the direction where He's calling us to, we can endure some things because we know where He's taking us. If we'll take the time, this is the reason why it's so important for us to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Because God is not revealing, you know, when the scripture says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has in store. Well, the next verse says, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. So we can know the direction that we're going. And once we know that direction, then we can start taking steps towards that. And even when hard things come up, it's not going to get us off course. One way that people get off course is when difficulties come. Hardship comes and they know that they need to stay on course, but I'm just going to deviate just a little bit because this is just too hard. Deviating from the course will get us in trouble. I don't know about y'all. I've only been lost in the woods one time. I feel like I'm pretty good at getting around the woods. I'm a hunter, and I feel like I'm pretty good at getting around at the woods. I don't go places where I think I can't find my way out of them. But the quickest way for somebody to get lost in the woods is try to go out there without any type of navigation. No compass, no GPS, and you just try to walk through the woods because you think you're going to walk a straight line. But as soon as you start walking that straight line, you don't know how those trees got there. But somehow there's a big tree in front of you, and so I'm going to take a step this way, and then I'm going to start walking again, and I don't realize, but those two little saplings that are right behind it get me off course just a little bit more. When obstacles come in our way, sometimes as we're making steps, but you can't, if you keep deviating off that path where you're at, now understand, I'm not telling you to climb the tree and go over it. I'm telling you to take a map or be led. Because if you're going to have to get off the path for something, you want to know that I'm getting right back on there. I got to know the direction that I'm supposed to go. If my steps are ordered, I need to be walking in the direction of where God's telling me to go and what God's calling me to do. And God doesn't reveal all those things to us at one time. The number of times in my life where God has just given me just a little bit, and then I find out later that that little bit was something that years later, I may have told this story here before, but it'll bear repeating. Before we came to Rhema, we were in a denominational church many years ago, before I came to Rhema as a student. And I knew I was called to ministry. I was at a fall retreat for youth. And, you know, there's something about, you know, revival with youth when you're around the youth and they're all hearing from God. And, you know, you get quiet and you're like, what have I been doing all this time? Why hadn't I been doing what they're doing? And so you start getting it, just pressing in, and God will speak to you. I knew I was called to ministry. I went back and I told the people at the church that I was going to at the time, the denominational church. They rejoiced with me. And then they convinced me to go visit their seminary. And when I went to their seminary, I found out that it wasn't the place for me. Now, I was raised a Pentecostal kid. Now I'm in this denominational church. And thank God for this denominational church. Because when I was backslid and I was being a dipstick, they loved me back into the kingdom of God. I'm so thankful for those people. And they gave me a really good wife. That's you, girl. But they wanted me to visit their seminary. And when I went to their seminary, I found out that one of the instructors wouldn't even allow you. And it was the instructor who taught their New Testament survey. They wouldn't even allow you to use gendered terms for God. You were not allowed to refer to him as the Father because you might offend somebody who didn't have a dad. I thought, well, that's weird. I even called the person and talked to them on the phone because I thought maybe, you know, I'm going to give them an... I wasn't confrontational, but I called them because I wanted to know, is this accurate? And then they got real defensive about it, but it was definitely accurate. So I came back and I told the minister who would have been my sponsor, but they were going to pay for my school. They would have paid for 80% of it for a master's of divinity if I maintain a B average. If I maintain an A average, they were going to pay 90% of it. So they were set to pay about 80% of mine. Some of you will get that in the car on the way home. They were going to pay about 80% of my tuition. But I didn't want to go there. And so I went back and I was a little upset about it because I knew that denomination did not believe that the way that this instructor believed. And I was mad about it. And I thought, I'm going to run a tear through that place. I'm going to tell everybody and, you know, this is going to be, you know, a big deal. And the minister that I had to go back to talk about whether or not I wanted to be a candidate, I told him all about it and I gave him an earful and he could tell I was upset about it. And he said to me, well, son, he said, if you don't feel like this is the right path for you, he said, I'll just encourage you to leave quietly. And I thought, I don't want to leave quietly. But on the inside, the Lord quickened me that he was right. And I did leave quietly. It wasn't my place. So I left quietly. Fast forward many, many, many years later, and I had stepped out of ministry for a little while. I went to look after my dad who had a long-term illness, and I had stepped away from the church that I was pastoring, took a secular job. My graduate degree is in communications, and so I was a director of communications at a college. But that college was getting ready to partner with the state that I was living in. They had legalized recreational marijuana. And they had partnered with these growers in our state, and we were going to start marketing for them to help them get employees. You know, could you see that headline? Preacher markets marijuana. I was like, Lord, you got to get me out of this place. You know this is coming, and I can't do this. I got to get out of here. The Lord answered my prayer. I had been, while I was working there at that school, a lot of people from the denomination that my wife had was raised in, the one that I left many years ago to go to a full gospel tongue-talking Bible college, this one. A lot of them went to, I've got reacquainted with people that were in that denomination because I was working there. And one of the guys that I worked with said, hey, I hear you're a preacher. We don't have a preacher. Would you be willing to fill in at my church? And so I started filling in at his church, and I filled in there for a little while. Well, all this stuff started happening where we were going to have to start marketing this marijuana, and I was not interested in that, but I needed a job to take care of my family. God knew I needed a job, right? So I prayed about it. Lord gave me peace about it. I was driving down the road about a year before this happened, and something odd happened. The name of the church is also the name of the road that I was driving on. And the Lord said, just spoke it into my heart, they're going to ask you to pastor that church. So fast forward now a year, and I'm trying to get out of Dodge at this school that I'm at. And I was in a Walmart. All roads lead there. And a lady that I knew from that denomination came up to me, and she said, well, how you been? She started making small talk. She said, hey, I heard you've been filling in at this one place, this other church. And she said, would you be willing to come fill in at our church sometime? And so I said, yes, I would be. And they had me come in. And after I got done, they said, hey, could you come back next week? And I remembered what the Lord had said to me a year before that. And so I said, yes, I can come back. I came back, and she said, we've got somebody filling in the next week, but would you come back the week after that? I said, yes, I would. And I knew what was getting ready to happen. And I got a phone call one night, and they said, hey, we'd like you to pastor this church. We'd like you to consider pastoring this church. This is the church that my wife had grown up in, the ones that loved me back into the kingdom, the one that I wanted to run a tear through when I went to their seminary. And I loved those people, but I was real upset about, I'm calling it righteous indignation, but a lot of it was just also anger. Thank you again. Appreciate you laughing. So we ended up going to that church, and I said yes, because the Lord had already spoken to me about it. Certainly Sarah and I, we talked about it, but I said yes. But then the Lord reminded me. He said, you remember when you were there and you went to their seminary and you wanted to go run roughshod because you were mad and I told you not to? Had you done that, I couldn't have done this. So just because you don't know, but God has made steps in your life or given you just a word to go in this direction, and you don't know what that's going to do for you, you've got to take that step because you know the voice of the Spirit. You've got to be obedient to that step, even though it doesn't make sense in your mind. When we moved out here, and the Lord had directed me years before that I would be back here one day. That was all he said. I didn't know what that meant. But when we got the opportunity to come back here, that church that I didn't run roughshod through, that allowed me to pastor them, gave me a box trailer to let me move all my stuff out here. Let me use their box trailer to move all my stuff to the next assignment that God had called me to. And it was all because when God said over here, you got to leave walking in love. You got to leave without being, you can't just blow up on these people. Had I done that, all of that would have been different. And the number of times that that's happened in my life over the years, I got here. I remember when I came to Rhema, and I was like, man, I came here at the wrong time. I should have been here earlier. What a waste of time that I went to college before I got here and got my undergraduate degree. And I was like, I'm not going to do business. I'm called to the ministry. Why did I even waste that time? And I was, you know, just grumbling and telling God I should have been here sooner. Because, man, when I got here, that revival week, during our revival week, they have a revival week every year. If you've been a student, you know that. I was in that back right over there in that section, and I don't remember who was preaching at the time, but the guy next to me jumped up, walked on top of a couple pews, and took off. When I got out of this room, I called my parents and I said, I have found my place. I knew I was in the right place. But I was complaining. I was like, I didn't want to go through all that. Well, the Lord had gotten me a job to help to take care of my family. I was working at UPS, and I was a manager at UPS. And the Lord said, he had had his craw full of me talking that way. He was real kind to me. The Lord's just so kind. He said, if you wouldn't have done that when I led you to go to school then, I couldn't have got you this job because it required a bachelor's degree for you to get it. And now you're using that to help pay your bills while you're here. I couldn't see that back then, but I knew I heard from the Lord. And I knew there were steps that I had to take. There's a vast journey that you're going to be on in your life, but you're not going to know everything. You're not going to be able to see out ahead, but you'll see some things along the way. Amen. Yeah, I'm not going to get done. I'll keep coming back if y'all do. Okay, thank you. Look, two of you are like, oh, I don't know, I might be back. So lots of scriptures tell us, Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his way. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That good works, that word works there is labor. So we're created in Christ Jesus for good labor. God prepared beforehand that we walked in it. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. There are steps that we have to take. And if we get out of step, there's three questions that you got to consider. And we're probably not going to get much further than this. We've only got a couple of minutes here. Y'all doing okay though? Okay. Then we have 3 minutes instead of two. Some questions to consider is this: why stay on the course or the path that God has for us? And we've answered that question because he's the source. Why would we stay on the path that God has for us? Because he's your source. And we want to be, what the old saying is, I want to be under the spout where the glory pours out. You want to be in the place that God has for you because he's the provider. Other jobs may pay your bills, but God will meet your needs. Another question you ask yourself is, how do I end up getting off the path? I've done it so many times. How does this end up happening to me? I deviate just a little bit, and now it seems like things are dried up. How does that happen? James 1. James 1, that's how that happens. Beginning with verse 12, it says this. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he's been approved, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Now that word drawn away is, I'm going to try to say this for you. In the Greek, it's exelko. It's E-X-E-L-K-O. It means to lure out of place. And enticed is deleazo, and it means to entrap. Baited like a fish with a hook. But it doesn't in anywhere in that text imply that the devil can make us get off course. It says that we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. The enemy understands that God is the giver of all good things. He knows how God operates. He knows what God has in store for you. That he wants to bless you. That he wants to provide for you. He found out real quick when they thought that they had defeated the plan. The scripture says, had the princes of this world known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. But Jesus, who said that this past week? He said, Jesus took it. He can't find his keys. Was that Brother Moore said that? The devil can't find his keys. Jesus took them. So he knows that God has good plans for us. And so because he knows that God has good plans for us, he's going to do everything he can to entice us to get off the path. Because if we get off the path, you know, if the devil could just do anything he wanted to us, why didn't he stop you from coming down an altar and getting down to an altar and getting born again? I used to think he could just do whatever he wanted to do in my life. But if he could, why didn't he grab me by my ankle and stop me before I got saved? Why didn't he put my arm around, like behind my back, and keep me from receiving the Holy Ghost? If the devil can just do what he wants to do in our lives, why didn't he just do it? Heard a guy say one time that he said, the devil said, I'm going to kill you. He said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. And he said, the Spirit of God spoke up on the inside of him and said, ask him how come he hadn't done it yet. And he said, he got real bold after that. He's like, why if you were going to kill me, why hadn't you done it yet? You just like me, he said? You just want to keep me around a little while? If the devil could do everything he tries to tell you he could do, he'd already done it. But he couldn't. What he can do is put the bait on the hook to get us to get off the path, to get out from under the protection of the provision of the source. Like, you know, when we go fishing, I like to fish. Anybody else like to fish? I like to fish, mostly because I like to eat fish. But I go out there and I put a worm on a hook and I'll throw it out there and some little, you know, Freddy the fish is just swimming with his friends. And they're just blowing bubbles and moving on down, you know, down the line. But then they see that worm and they like worms. And they see that worm out there in that water and Freddy tells his friends, I'll be back, I'm going to go check something out. And he leaves his little friends and he swims over to the side. And he goes to nibbling on that and I'm going to nail him. I'm going to hook him. I'm going to take him home. I'm going to fry him up. I'm going to eat him. And I know Sarah's not going to clean him, so I'm going to clean him too. I couldn't have got Freddy fish if he didn't like the bait on the line. The enemy, you know, that scripture says desires. The King James says gives to lust. But that word desires, it's not always bad. In this context, he's talking about it leads to sin. But a desire that you have to have your needs met, that's not a bad desire. But the enemy will bait a hook with something else to get you off course because it looks good, pleasant to the eyes. If the fruit in the garden would have looked like the sin that it produced, they'd have never took a bite. It was pleasing to look at. There's a source for our course, and it's required that we stay on that course in order to receive from the source. And the devil wants to get us to step off the course. And he'll do it any way he can, trying to convince you that he's got something better. And eventually you're drawn away of your own lust and enticed. But that same, and I'm going to close with this, that same passage, when you read down further, is the passage we just read to you, that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. What he's telling you is, don't get drawn away and enticed because it looks good. Because I've got so much more. I've got so much better. And if you'll just hang on, if you'll just stay with me, all those things that you have need of, oh, you just seek first the kingdom and my way of doing things, my righteousness, and all of these things are going to be added to you because he's the source for our course. Amen. We're going to stop there tonight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Would you stand to your feet? I kept you over like 4 minutes, 5 minutes. I owe you that. You're never going to get it back. I just want you to know that I owe it to you. Father God, we thank you so much for these faithful people that are here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for a wonderful church, a place that you called us all to be a part of something, Lord, that you're doing in the earth. And you gave us an opportunity that our path would come here, that we would come to this place, Lord, to be a part of what you're doing in all the earth. In every area of our life, whether now that we're here, now that we're on the path, now that we're on the course, Lord, what is it that you have for us to do? We want to know that and we want to do it with our whole heart. We want to be right in the middle of your plan and your purpose. We want to take steps in the plan and the purpose you have for our lives. I pray for everyone who's here within the sound of my voice tonight, that they would be diligent, Lord, to take some time. That they would be diligent to take some time to pray in the Holy Ghost and discover, is there something that I should be doing that I'm not doing? Yeah. Or is there something that I'm doing that I shouldn't be? That they would take time to pray and hear by the Holy Spirit, gain the knowledge and use the wisdom to make the change. so that every person is walking in the fullness of your supply. Whoa, do you want the fullness? We want the fullness of your supply. We want the fullness of your supply. And so we stand here in your presence, Lord, and we say, here am I. We want the fullness. Oh, we want the fullness of your grace, so we can hear, well done, when we look upon your face. We want the fullness of your supply, Lord. We give you praise and glory for your faithfulness. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need a know-so experience. You need to rededicate your life. Our altar care team's coming down right now. If you need to be born again, you've never accepted Jesus, what I'm telling you right now, these things I'm telling you about this path and this plan, God has this path and this plan for every one of us. You just have to get engaged with him and just accept that, Lord, I couldn't do it on my own. I need a Savior. If you need a know-so experience, you need to know that if you left the earth, that when you leave here, if you take your last breath, 100% that I know that I know that I know, if I took my last breath right now, to be absent from the body would be to be present with the Lord. If you're here and you don't know that now, then when we leave tonight, you get down here and you pray with these people and you rededicate your life and you make sure. Or you might say, I don't know what it means to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, to be filled to overflowing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It's an endowment of power on high. You know, you say, well, I'm born again, so I have the Holy Spirit. You do, but it's like having a half a glass of a sweet tea. Half a glass is good, but what if I told you I could fill it up? God's saying, let me fill it up. Let me give you all of the Holy Spirit that you can hold to an overflowing presence, if that's you tonight. Born again, rededicate your life, or you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When we exit tonight, you come down here. Our altar care team is here. Ladies, we ask you to come to the ladies. Men, come to the men. God bless you guys. We love you and appreciate you. Is there anything else, gentlemen? We love you. We'll see you on Wednesday night for Hour of Power. Love on your church family before you leave. God bless you.